B-Pod Studios.
The following podcast is PG, may contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together. This is PG with Roxanne Wilder and Mark Jason.
We should have just have been rolling when we just talked and said what we just said, because that would have been a nice preview for the whole show, right?
Yeah, we should have. We should have. You breaking it down, the rundown of what we're going to talk about.
That's how we show prep around here. Nothing too scientific. As I was saying, Buck, I want to start by saying thank you to all my friends who wish me happy birthday. I try to lay low on Facebook and not really say anything about it.
I noticed. You were very quiet.
Yeah, I'm totally quiet about it. But then other people, like my co-host in the morning, Mason Dixon, he puts it all out there, so that's great. So anyways, had something really cool happen on my birthday I got to tell you about. My daughter, this is the uncool part. My daughter and I were reading Fancy Nancy. You probably don't read Fancy Nancy's in your household.
No.
Okay.
No.
We were just plowing through some Fancy Nancy's, and she got super excited and hit me in the eye with one of those books.
Oh.
And I can't tell you how many times I've been hit in the eye with books.
It happens. Yeah.
But most of the time, it's like, ow, and then you move on. This time was brutal. This time was bad.
So it really hurt you?
It really hurt me. It was in pain. And I mean, I ran to the bathroom. I'm sure I let out some expletives. She knew I was hurting. Yeah. And then I ran to the bathroom and I could see my whole left side of my eye had turned bright red immediately.
Right.
So I called. Have you ever been hit in the eye really hard?
I have. Oh, so many times. I'm curious to your reaction and what you did.
Okay. This is important. I called my eye doctor, and that's the first time I called my eye doctor. It was that severe. So I couldn't even see the phone, so I dialed the wrong eye doctor. Oh. Same company, but a different branch of it, a different location. So they asked me this question. So this is good for parents to know. If you have an eye injury, they said, does it hurt still? And it had been like 5 minutes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Is your vision blurry? A little bit. Yeah. Yes. If your vision is blurry and it still hurts after 5 minutes, because your eye's pretty tough, go ahead and go get it checked out. And even if you're like on the cusp, just go get it checked out, because they totally saved me. So
really?
I load my daughter, I load my daughter in the car. We go to the eye doctor. By the way, they said, hey, you called the wrong one. Do you want us to call your normal doctor's office? And I said, you know what? It's 6-1, half dozen the other. We'll just go see you.
Now you drove.
I drove.
But you couldn't see.
No, it was getting better. And and the blurriness started to go away.
You still had one good eye.
I still had one good eye. So what else? Yes. So we get there, and now this was right before nap time. So now she's not had her nap. So she's
messed everything up.
Yes, you know, it just turned into insanity. So she was a nightmare in there. She was screaming. But then once the doctor came in, she acted like a normal human. Does your child act like that?
Yes.
Which I think I'd prefer. Act crazy around me and normal around other people.
You
want to
look
fine.
At him and go, you're not crazy now, are you?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But at least he's putting on a good show for other people. So the doctor came in, and this is the important thing for parents. In this case, it was an easy fix. She gave me this contact lens, and I wore it that night, and it's a protective contact lens. It's a patch. But not like a patch over your eye.
Yeah.
Because when you blink, your eye scrapes and causes more irritation. So the next morning, I wake up. It's perfect. Like it never happened. And then in my return trip to the doctor, she said, everything's fine. All your corneal scratches are healed. It was pretty superficial, but still. So good to know.
It held your eye basically closed all
it
night.
It didn't hold it closed. Yes. All night, because when you're sleeping, and during the day, we blink all the time during the day.
Yeah.
But blinking can actually irritate and scrape your eye.
Okay.
And your eyes can get drier at night, I believe.
So this held it still. So there wasn't any real
motion on it. No, it was a protective layer. So right, exactly. So the lid of your eye didn't irritate it further.
Yeah. Wow, and this is the first I've heard of that.
Yes, and I'm telling you, I woke up and I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, the vanity purpose is I'm not thinking about, oh no, I can't see, or oh no, it hurts. I'm thinking, oh no, my eye's red, and I woke up and it was fine. No, I'm just kidding. I was worried about all of the above.
Wow.
But here's the cool part, Buck. So it was my birthday. So when I went to the doctor, and this is like by chance, I went to the wrong one, obviously. And so she was a really nice woman. And at the end of our appointment, because my father used to be in the eyewear business, in the optometry business. And so I said, have you always worked here? And she's like, for most of my career. I said, hey, did you ever work at VisionWorks?
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I did. And so I said, did you ever know Rob Roberson? That was my dad. And she said, oh, Mr. Roberson was your dad?
Mr. Roberson.
Yeah, and she said he got to, she said he was, they, one time my boss called me and said he was coming in and he was going to be my patient and I took care of him. And she was like, he was so nice.
Wow.
And he gave my boss a great review. And I mean, Buck, it was such a special gift for me.
Yeah, small world.
On my birthday, I was like, I felt like my dad was like reaching out to me. It was awesome. Goodness. And you know, that's the thing too, is it's fun to hear people, you know, it's fun to hear old stories from friends who knew him or other family who knew him and to talk about him, but then to meet a stranger and have that.
So
it's
randomly.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
So I think, you know, if people who have a loved one who's passed, you write all this stuff down, which I haven't done, and you'll really add up over the years and be like, oh my gosh, they communicate with me all the time. So right. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
So anyways, taking us as usual on a little roller coaster of the humor of getting belted by your child too.
That's a crazy story. And I've been hit in the face. I knows. I mean, everywhere in my body. I've got a 3-year-old little boy, turns 4 in a month. I've been hit everywhere, but I've never been hit hard enough to have to go to the doctor. I've been hit in the mouth and thought I lost a tooth one time. I had to rush, like you said, to the bathroom and look and go, no, it's okay. It's still there. It's still there. God.
And you've got nice dentition. You've got nice, strong teeth, you know, but
on the outside. Yeah, I've got, I won't get into it, but.
That's for another podcast.
Okay. Yeah, that's a different podcast. Wow.
Well, it's crazy because you do always. How many times have you run in the bathroom and looked at your lips to see if they're bleeding?
Yeah.
From kids are strong.
Kids are strong. Oh my goodness, so strong. You don't even realize their little person strength.
I know.
And with a toy in their hand and they're swinging it. Oh, uh-huh. Man, watch
I know.
Out.
Or have you ever had your son try to grab onto something like a pole or a cabinet or a door because he doesn't want to leave?
They don't want to go.
And you try to pull them and you're like,
yes.
Where is
yes.
It's baby strength.
I have to get this like superhuman strength. And like basically wrap them in a little ball and pick them up. Say, you're coming with me.
to teach them, yes, daddy is stronger than you. Daddy can physically overpower
That's
you,
right.
So don't even try
and
it.
And I want it to be like that. I want him to know that until we're old and gray.
Yes.
I
to
still
think
feel
that
like
that's
that
always...
with my dad.
I bet.
I'm like, you know, like if it came to me and my dad right now, you know, he's like probably almost 70.
Mm-hmm.
If it came to that, he could probably
still
outpower
me. Your dad could whoop
you. It's all mental at this point.
Yes, yes. And because he's hypnotized you since the early, early days, I can overpower you, son. So speaking of overpowering, personality-wise, kids can do that to us too.
Yeah.
And I've run into something just in the last couple of weeks that I'm like, oh my God, my daughter is defiant.
Yes.
And I started Googling it, you know, what do you do when you are toddlers defiant? Yes, there's all kinds of literature
right.
on it. And the reason, the psychological reason is because they want to control their environment. So when they're about 18 months, they start to learn the difference between, they realize they're separate from you.
Right.
So they want to control. And the way to control is to do opposite of what's asked of them or opposite of what's
really?
They're told to do.
Yeah.
And I guess in some particular kids that urge for defiance is stronger. Maybe they're more passionate, and in other kids who are laid back, it's less of a need.
Crazy to think that a little person that can't even tie their shoes is going to get an attitude and decide that they're going to do the opposite of what.
Yes,
you do.
Yes, I don't understand it.
You can't button a button. You can't brush your teeth. But you're going to go jump on that bed over by the edge of the bed with
right.
sharp toys everywhere.
Right. When you've been told not to do that. And that's a good point that you just made, because what I've realized to avoid the defiance, it's about avoidance. It's about not putting her in situations where she's going to try to defy me. But some of it comes from drive and her desire to get what she wants. Like we're eating dinner the other day and I told her, no, you can... Look, I was being a bad mom, but we've talked endlessly about the phone thing. So she's looking at the phone and then she's eating hummus. I said, No. Either put the phone down and eat the hummus. And this isn't at our home. This is a mom in a panic, not wanting her to be a Tasmanian devil around a restaurant, or eat the hummus.
But
I'm telling
both.
You, but not both at the same time.
You're
because
stronger than I am.
Okay. Well, guess what she does? Her brain is like, how can I get what I want in this situation?
Right.
So she throws the phone down, shovels all the hummus in her mouth as much as she can, and then takes the hummus, the chips that are on her plate, throws them back in the bowl, and grabs the phone.
Wow. Wow.
Now, that's alarming in its own right.
Pretty smart.
But it's just...
You can see in her mind, that was a move.
Right.
That was a power move.
It was a power move, but it was like pretty quick thinking, too. It was problem solved. But the thing I don't like is the defiance. And we're at the park. It's kind of by yours and my house, by the way.
Right.
You know the park I'm talking about, right?
Which one.
Okay, it's a cool park. I love that park, especially on a not-so-crowded day, which I can kind of sneak in and out with my schedule.
Yeah.
So she and I went, and she's on the baby swings. There's a baby next to her, younger baby.
Younger baby. Baby baby.
Baby baby. Okay. And the mom of the baby baby looked at her own daughter and said, "Oh, no, 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 no. Don't put your hands in your mouth when you're at the park. We don't want to get germs." And the little girl listened to her.
Oh.
Before she'd even completed that sentence, my daughter looks at me, looks at her, and shoves her whole hand in her mouth.
The whole hand.
Your daughter's like,
this is not what we're doing over here. This is how it's going to be. Just so you know, Mom.
Oh, my gosh. So how do you deal with defiance around your home?
Oh, my goodness. I guess for me and my son, there's some things you have to let him find out on his own, like falling down. But when it comes to germs and touching stuff, I guess I'll explain it like... It's so bad. It's almost like you're lying to them. And you're like, hey, there's dirt on that. Or you teach them what germs are.
Right.
Or they see something gross that they think is gross, maybe like a worm.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know, before we got here, worms were on that. Daddy, worms? Yeah.
I like that.
And then he goes, yeah. And he doesn't touch it.
That's brilliant.
It's so bad because you're kind of lying, but you're setting them up. So they don't get...
But you're kind of not because germs are... They look like little worms under a microscope.
Yeah, true. So. True. So it's all honest. Yeah. I'm a dad that uses the diversion technique.
Smart.
I mean, if he's throwing a fit in Target or Walmart, he's throwing a fit. I'm that dad that's going to say, if you stop right now, I'll give you a cookie in the car.
Right. You know? Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's... I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. But it gets us out of that situation.
Yes.
Then we get to the car and I say, oh, I don't have any cookies. I'll give you one when we get home.
Right. Oh, no cookie here. My mistake. Hey,
it happens.
Nobody
have any cookies at home.
We got to learn about disappointments in life, too. That's a valuable lesson there. I don't know what it is about you guys, but Doug is this way. And you dads are great at big gestures and humor to mix up the mood. Do you do that at home, too?
Absolutely.
I don't have that gift.
Absolutely. I walk
big,
in.
Big crazy spaces and noises.
Big high fives. I pick my son up from school and it's a class of like 20 kids.
Uh-huh.
Every single one of them gives me a high five when I pick him
because up. Because you're such an exciting dad.
I'm high five guy.
Not to be confused with Five Guys. You're high five. Okay,
I'm the other
good.
Guy, yeah.
High five
no
guy.
Burgers here. But that's it. It's all about diversion techniques. And, yeah, I mean, if my son is crying, I was always that dad that would pick him up and say, you know, lift him up in the air and throw him up and catch him and say, no more crying. We're going to let's try to touch the ceiling.
Yes.
I know we can't touch it, but let's try. And he'd be like, oh, this is a cool game. No more crying. Boom.
Brilliant. My tactic that I'm developing comes from more of the creative aspect. So what I'm starting to do if she's having a temper tantrum or just doing what I, you know, not in a good mood, I say, oh, my gosh, Elmo and I were talking. Oh, I got to tell you this. Elmo and I were talking, and he's been struggling with his letters. He wants to learn some letters. Can we help teach him? And so I have to, like, pull her stuffed animals into the discussion and get her mind off of whatever she's driven to try to obtain.
So I think that's great. You're bringing in... objects
into
the learning, and I think
they're
way more likely to engage with that.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna love that.
You got to find what works for you. The dads excel in certain areas, and that's a whole other topic for another show. How much kids love their dads. It's really cute. Sometimes it makes me jealous when I see that relationship. But I have a question for you, Buck. We want to let our kids grow up and be who they're going to be.
Yeah.
We also want to teach them values. We want to instill values in them. And so in instilling values, you're kind of making them be who you want them to be. Does that make sense?
You're definitely carving out the person that you see in your mind as what you want them to look like.
Yes. How you want them to act in a way. So my thing is, okay, what do I want my daughter to be? I want her to be kind. Did you see the movie The Help? Do you remember that movie?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, there's a great line. You was kind, you was smart, and you was important. And it's my favorite line from the movie. It's really cute. I want her to be kind, smart, and creative.
Right.
Kind and a critical thinker and creative. I think those are some good things to
Definitely.
Do that we can maybe start to develop right now.
Right.
So I have some ideas about that, but how do you manage that? What do you want your son to be?
Yeah, you know, I want him to be kind. I want him to be thoughtful. I want him to be smart but original. I think about us working in radio, and I'm like, oh, Lord, please, this kid gets in the radio. He's done. He's done. But I want him to – I think of so much stuff. Do I want him to play sports? Do I want him to be a musician? Oh, my God, I want him to be a musician. I'm going to buy a guitar and just leave it laying around right. the house. So he picks it up and starts playing, but then I don't do it. And
yes,
I'm like,
the hobbies that the you hobbies. Think about, what hobbies, and that turns into vocation in some cases, because we all see, like, he's playing the guitar and you're saying, oh, my gosh, he's going to be a rock and roll star, because you have these high aspirations. So so what's the balance between letting them do their own thing and enjoy life and giving them a path?
I mean, it's for me, it's all about, like, time throughout the day. Like, if I get home from work and I know I've got 4 hours with him, how do I break apart those 4 hours? I know we've got to eat. I know we've got to play. I know we've got to take a bath. So in that playtime, what do? You know, books. I've surrounded his room. I put books everywhere. So there's books. I make sure he's sharing. And then if we get home and there is daylight out, we go and we'll play kickball, or we'll go on a bike ride, and we'll go to bike ride. And if he sees friends, we share. You know, if somebody else wants to ride his bike, I tell him it's okay.
That's great. Buck, you're such a good daddy.
Oh, my goodness, I'm trying.
You're putting so much thought into this.
Oh, yeah. I lay up at night and I think about it. You know, what could you do? You know, I think about our story earlier, where your daughter hit you in the eye with a book. Now, I've been hit too, and I've jumped up and I've said some bad words,
and I
ran to the bathroom, and then I think about what I did.
Right.
I'm showing him how to react when you get hit. So now when he hits me, it hurts, but I will lay there and I will not jump up and have this huge reaction.
Expletive laden. I've
calm.
Done that.
Mm-hmm. I want to be cool. I want to show him, because he's copying everything.
I know. That's the biggest thing.
I want to show him how cool you are, how cool your dad is when he gets it. And that's what you do, too.
Right.
We don't freak out. We
right.
don't freak out at all.
I like that.
But as hard as you got hit, that's tough. And they
you
see gotta
that. You got to take action.
And they see that. And she may get hit today by something. The wind may blow, and she may act like you did last night.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Like, everything we do. You have to think about everything.
You hit the nail on the head, because when I think, okay, how am I going to teach her to be kind and this and that? Well, she's mimicking everything that we do. All the phrases that we hear her say that we laugh about, they originate with one of us, most likely.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, okay, well, if I treat Doug with kindness, he treats me with kindness all the time, then she's going to pick up on that. But then even adding to that, I try to give her examples. Okay, let's do something nice for someone today. Let's make a meal for somebody in our family. And then we cook together and we talk about it. So I think you also have to do it. And like you said, say, hey, this is how we react when this happens. We act cool.
This is it. Calm and cool.
Yeah. I love it. See.
Pro tip.
Oh.
If you and your husband or significant other are in the same room, and the child is also in the room, and you're having argument, fight, heated discussion, and they're in the room, I don't know about you, but I do not want to have my child see us in that moment. What we do is, in the same room, we text each other.
Oh, wow.
Child's
so you
in the
fight
room,
via
we
text.
We are completely silent. And we text.
Wow.
And we hash it out right there.
Okay.
With eye contact and heavy thumbs.
Glares and heavy thumbs.
Pro tip right there.
Remember the old phones, the flip phones? You could actually hear the click, 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 click. You need those to come back just for the effect. That is a pro tip, Buck. I'm telling you right now.
the other side of it right there.
I'm going to follow that. Thank you.
MainStageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.